25. Matthew chapter 25. There's a parable given here again, and it's one of several in Matthew chapter 25, parables about the kingdom. And this one describes two kinds of people, but it uses two kinds of animals to describe these two kinds of people. And if you notice throughout the Bible, if you read your Bible, you're going to always find two kinds. In the Old Testament, there are the righteous and the wicked. In the New Testament, there are the saved and the lost. Way back in the beginning, when Adam and Eve came along, they had Cain and Abel. And you always find those two kinds, and so it's not surprising that we see these two kinds here, but there's an illustration that the Lord uses, or a parable, I guess is the right word I should use, and they're called sheep and goats. Sheep and goats. And you are one or the other. Now, I was interested in the difference in sheep and goats, and I went to the oracle of all knowledge, the internet. And the internet says that the difference between sheep and goats, there's three main things. If you, any of you here have had a farm or have had some animals, you'll know what I'm about to tell you. But one of the things, if you go to the fair, for example, and you've seen the sheep at the state fair and the goats at the state fair, there's three differences in them. One of them is that sheep have wool, goats have hair. Goats, for example, you're not going to make a nice sweater out of goat hair. But sheep have wool, and they have to be sheared every year because they don't naturally shed that wool. And I thought that was interesting, that you and I, as born-again Christians, we have a different covering. Amen? We are clothed, the Bible uses that word clothed, in the righteousness of Christ. You know, you may be here today and you may not have a whole lot going for you and you may be sad or whatever. I can tell you one thing that should encourage you, and that is if you are saved, when God sees you, He sees Christ's righteousness. Whew, I'm sure glad about that. Because I don't want God looking at my sin. Now, that's not an excuse to be as wicked as you want. Not at all. You'll see that in a minute. We're different now. But we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. A lost person, when God sees them, He sees that sin. He sees the wickedness. He sees the crimes they've committed against other folks and the suffering they have caused. And yet, He loved them so much, He sent His Son to save them, if they would receive Him. Amen? A second thing about sheep and goats that's different is what they eat. And you've probably seen this. When I remember the first time I saw it, I kind of thought it was strange. Goats like to eat things that are up high. They'll stand on their hind legs and eat a tree leaf if they can reach it. And you've probably seen a goat somewhere along the way if you look very hard out in the country maybe. And he's on his hind legs. He's getting everything he can up here. He's not satisfied with the grass on the ground. Sheep are grazers. And sheep will eat the grass on the ground, and they're satisfied with that. And that's interesting because you and I, as born-again Christians, we feed on the Word of God. Lost folks can't do that. Lost folks, the folks that don't have Jesus Christ living in their heart, they are looking for something to satisfy them, and they're looking around, and they're reaching around, and they're trying this sin, and they're trying that wickedness, and they're trying that drug, and they're trying that behavior, and those aren't going to satisfy you. But God can. Amen? The third thing is not so illustrative as just funny. Sheep's tails point down, goat tails point up. If you can find an application for that, see me after the service. Amen? But it's true. And the sheep's tail is hangs down, the goat's tail points up. And I don't know, you might look at this in one way, and that is, goats kind of seem proud to me, you know, like they think they got it all figured out. And I don't know, but anyway, I know this, I have not got it all figured out, but God does. And in my life, I can be confounded. I can be confused. I can be, I cannot know what to do. But I have a God that I can trust. And if you have a God that you can trust, you don't have to know everything, do you? You haven't got to take care of everything, do you? Because He does. In this parable, and we're going to read it here in just a minute, you're going to see a judgment. Now watch what happens. Before the facts are revealed, before the judgment is declared, Jesus already knows who are the sheep and who are the goats. He separates them before the judgment takes place. And if you're there in Matthew 25, let me point something out ahead of time so we won't miss it. The Bible says in verse 34 that He says to them on the right hand, those are the sheep, He says in verse 34, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I'm looking forward to that day. As a sheep, I'm looking forward to being called to be in His kingdom. This week, I've had too many opportunities to see people suffering and suffering in all sorts of ways. Sadness, loss, frustration in life's plans. They wanted to see things go one way and it didn't happen that way. And I spent a lot of time around people that are suffering this week. And I'm looking forward to that day when there's no more suffering. The other group, the goats, do not have the same declaration. It says in verse 41, "Then shall He say unto them on the left," that's the goats, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Folks, hell is real. And the Lord Jesus Christ plainly states that people that are, I'll use the word not saved for the time being, are going to spend eternity there. Some of those are people that we know. It's not too late if they will receive Christ. But folks, they cannot receive Christ unless someone goes to them and tells them about Christ. Amen? And that someone needs to be you and I. And for the people that we cannot go to, the people that are too far away, the people represented by these flags around the auditorium, we're going to send missionaries. Amen? Now, this year, we've done something kind of special. We have flags that have a piece of paper underneath them, and that piece of paper represents a missionary. For example, right over here, the Mexico, the flag has underneath it, I can see the word Door and the word Harris. And those are missionaries that have gone to that nation because we can't go. But folks, we can go to our neighborhoods. We can go visiting on Tuesday nights. We can invite folks out to church. Amen? Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to read this to you. Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read verses 31 through 46. And we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats, from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King," the Lord Jesus Christ is our King, amen? "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the least, to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, help us now to dwell upon your word and to see what you have to say for us. And I pray you'd guide my thoughts and my words as I present this. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would take it and use it in our lives. God, I ask you to meet with us in a special way right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is the third time in Matthew chapter 25 when the Lord has used what people do to define whether or not they are saved or lost. In other words, this is the third time. The first time was the parable of the virgins. They had no oil in their lamps. The second time was the servants with their talents. And now we have the sheep and the goats. The third time in this one chapter that the Lord Jesus Christ has plainly said, those who are part of his kingdom, those who belong to him, those people that are going to spend eternity in what we call heaven with him, are identified by what they do. And make no mistake, you and I are not saved by what we do. We are saved because of what Jesus did. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's what the Bible says. We were looking at Ephesians this morning in Sunday school. Chapter 2 and verse 8 says, By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I know a lot of people would like to claim to be good enough to go to heaven. Romans says, There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So don't misunderstand. You cannot be good enough to save yourself. But just as much as that would be a mistake to believe that, it is a mistake to believe that once you are saved, it doesn't matter how you live. I want to say that differently. It's a mistake to believe that once you are saved, you're going to keep living the way you used to. Now, we have sin in us. The Bible says that. Romans chapter 7 describes a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says, The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. And that battle goes on inside of us. And that battle will be over in eternity. Praise the Lord. So I'm not saying that you're going to stop sinning, but I am saying when you get saved, the Bible is very clear. Three times in this chapter, you're going to be different. So we come back to this idea of sheep and goats and what makes them different. And The question I'll ask is this: what makes you and I, as saved people, as people that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that mean, Pastor? That means that I called upon the name of the Lord to save me from my sins. He that hath the Son, the Bible says, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Romans talks about him coming into our heart. John chapter 1 says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have asked him to save you, to come into your heart and to be your Savior, that will put you in the sheep category, and it will change the way you live. If you have not done that, I have good news for you. You could do it today. Now, as I look out, I think I know everybody here. And to the best of my knowledge, we all have made a decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm not always sure about that. You're the one that has to answer to God, not me, for your life. And so if you're not saved, listen carefully, because you could be. Look at these differences. We're going to begin again in looking at some specific words, and I want to look at verse 40 to start off with. Matthew 25:40. The king shall answer, and he's talking to the sheep here, he answered unto them, and he says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it, and I like that word done, is something that is a deed, it is an act, it is a deliberate effort. As much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. One of the differences that he shows us about sheep and goats from a spiritual standpoint is sheep have different deeds. They have done different things. Look at what happens with these sheep. The list back in verse 35 is hungered, thirsty, a stranger, someone who needs clothing, someone who's in prison, or someone who is sick. Clearly, these are needs. That you understand something. God does intend for us to minister to people in physical ways. I think anybody here would agree, because I think the reason is because you're saved. If you saw somebody and they were cold, or they were hungry, or they were thirsty, you'd meet that need. I would. We were running the bus route in Salt Lake City one time, and we went. It's funny how bus routes always seem to be more successful in areas where folks haven't got quite so much money. And I think I understand why that is, because people that haven't got a lot of money understand they need God. Now, don't make a mistake. You say here today, you say, Pastor, I've got a lot of money. You need God. I've talked to people, even recently, that had a lot of money, and they need God. Because money, it turns out, doesn't solve much of any problem. It distracts you, but money cannot heal you. Money cannot mend a broken marriage. Money cannot repair the things that sin destroys. Don't trust your money, trust God. But we were running this bus route, and we pulled up to this house to pick up this little boy. And the cutest little boy, long black curly hair, and only about 4 years old. He was there every week. We knew if nobody else were to come, that little boy would ride that bus. And as we stopped to pick the little boy up, I saw a man walking down the sidewalk. And it was obvious he was in, he was disheveled. He clearly was in a state of distress of some sort, just didn't quite seem like he was doing well in life. And I just asked him, I said, hey, would you like to go to church? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, get on the bus. Praise the Lord. And he did. After church, instead of having him ride the bus home, we gave him a ride home in a car. And we took him to a very poor part of town, a little place called Midvale. If you've ever been to Salt Lake City, you know where that is, maybe. And the poor parts of Midvale, which is where our bus route would thrive, by the way. And this man was living in a one-bedroom, it's hard to call it an apartment, a one-bedroom room over the top of a business, and kind of a rickety wooden steps that went up there. And so I went in with him, and I went up to his room, and I looked, and it was pretty obvious. He had nothing. And I don't know how it came to me, but he opened the refrigerator, and it was empty. And I thought, you know, this fellow's got a need. Went out to the grocery store, and I bought a whole bunch of groceries, and I came right back to his house about an hour later. You should have seen his eyes. Man, he was happy. That made me happy, amen? There's probably not a person in this room that couldn't spend $30 on groceries for somebody. And you might change somebody's life that way. Well, let me tell you something. That's good that we would do that. And we ought to do that. And we will do that. But we're called to do something even more important. Because there are types of suffering that don't include hunger or thirst or illness. In fact, we've already heard about it in this passage. There's a place called hell. And there is a spiritual provision, a spiritual meat, and a spiritual drink, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can take to those people and keep them out of hell. And the difference in sheep and goats is what they do. And look at what the sheep did. The sheep saw the need. I'm not saying the goats didn't see it, but the sheep saw it in a different way. And we already read those verses about the thirst or the hunger or the nakedness or the sickness. And the sheep saw the need, but one of the bigger differences, the sheep are moved by the need. The word is compassion. Let me be real blunt. Sheep care that someone's going to die and go to hell. Amen? Now, again, this week I've dealt with folks that are suffering, and I do everything I can to comfort them. And my ability is very limited. About the most powerful thing I can do is pray for them. And we do. And if I can meet a need, if I can give somebody food, or if I can give somebody clothing or whatever they might need, I'm going to do that. But folks, the church's job is to give them the gospel. Do you see, each one of us sitting here, we were on our way to hell. We had a need. We were suffering, bound by sin, blinded by Satan, not at all eligible to step into God's kingdom. And somebody saw that need and cared enough to bring us the gospel. I don't know who led you to the Lord. I don't know what brought you to that place of conviction to where you let them lead you to the Lord, but aren't you glad they did? Aren't you glad somebody preached? Aren't you glad somebody invited you to church? Aren't you glad somebody witnessed to you? Aren't you glad somebody saw your need? They were moved with compassion and they met the need. You see, a lot of people can see the need, but then they just turn and walk away. We've already passed the story, the Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the man that was on the way to, he was coming back from Jericho, and there was a Samaritan, and he saw a man that was in need, and he met the man's need. We understand what that means. Can I ask you this? As sheep, can you see the need of the people around you? And are you moved with compassion? Say, well, Pastor, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Then let's do something about it. Yeah. Amen? Amen? You know, and it's interesting what he uses here. He talks about visiting people. When's the last time you visited somebody? We need to meet people's needs. Amen? Sheep are different because of their deeds. Now, this is not complicated, but sheep are different because of their destiny. And we have talked about that a little bit, but I enjoy talking about it, so we're going to talk about it a little bit more. First of all, they're separate in God's eyes. You see back in verse 33, he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. The sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. The Lord knows whether you're saved or lost. Most people know if they're saved or lost. What I do know is this. If I wasn't sure I was saved, I'd want to make sure. I was in the hospital in the middle of December and got blood clots in my lungs. And the doctor says, we don't know what caused this, but we know how to keep it from happening again. It might never happen again, he said, but just in case, we're going to give you this medicine. I take one in the morning and one at night, and it will keep me from getting blood clots. Now, I could take the chance. I could just say, let's see what happens. But I've already been there and done that. That was no fun at all. So I'm going to do what is a remedy, and I'm going to take the medicine. Folks, if the Lord Jesus Christ lives in your heart, you're going to know it. But if you're not sure, don't take that chance. I can just tell you right now, if you're not sure, there's an awfully good chance you're not saved. So, Pastor, I would be embarrassed to come down and publicly, you know, let people know that I thought I was saved and I really wasn't. You know, that embarrassment is nothing compared to spending eternity in hell. The destiny. Let's just look at it quickly again. In verse 34, if you're a sheep, you will hear these words one day. Come, ye blessed of my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to call you into his presence. We're going to be with him for all eternity. I hope you enjoy spending time with Jesus now, because you're going to get to be with him for all eternity. Amen? Now, I cannot be with him physically right now, but I can be with him right now through his word. Some of you may have heard this story, but it's so moving. I'll just mention it's not very long. William T. Sherman, the general from the Civil War, before he was in the Civil War, he was stationed in San Francisco. And his wife had a child. He was not there for the birth, and his wife wanted to communicate to him. This was before the days of inexpensive photography. She wanted him somehow to know the presence of the child, and so she got the child's hand. And she put the child, little baby's hand, on a piece of paper, and she traced around all the fingers of that hand on that piece of paper, right in the middle. And then she wrote her letter around that hand. I've seen a picture of the letter. Little baby's hand in the middle, and then words all around it, telling her husband, you have a new child, and he's healthy, and he's safe. And it was really a beautiful thought. He could not know that child, but he could see that child's hand on that paper. You cannot physically be with the Lord Jesus Christ yet, but his hand is on this book. And when you read this book, you're reading from what he has to say. And it's just as good as it's going to get until we're with him physically. You can spend time with him in the Bible. Say, Pastor, I don't understand all the Bible. Read the part you do understand. Amen? And by the way, ask the Lord to show you what it means, and he will. I quote this often. Mark Twain said, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that worry me, it's the parts I do understand. Well, folks, the parts of the Bible I understand bless me. Because I know Christ is my Savior. The destiny of the saved. I know people in our congregation now are suffering, and I know I've met people this week that aren't here today that are suffering. And I just want you to know something. There is an end to suffering. Yeah. My wife, almost every time she comes home, she's got some amazing story to tell. She works in a place where it's not unusual for her to come home and tell me about someone trying to take their life. They're not happy. But today she told me the story of a young man who, he's a worker there, and he was in a car wreck, and he crushed his right hand in this car wreck. And they were asking the question, why would God let that kind of thing happen? Folks, this world was cursed way back in the garden when man chose to sin. And I want you to know something. God is not responsible for the suffering. Sin is. Jesus died on the cross, not because God made him, but because he died to pay for our sins. If there had been no sin, there would have needed to be no suffering. Why is there death, Pastor? Because the wages of sin is death. Why have we lost loved ones? Because sin brings death. Not that they were especially wicked, but just the fact that there is death in this world. And every time I hear about it, it grieves me. And if it's someone close to you, it grieves you all the more. Folks, there's a day coming when all that's going to be taken care of. And isn't it good to know, if you think about Mary and Martha when Lazarus died, isn't it good to know that Jesus looks at it this way? He says, if you believe on him, you'll never die. You say, well, they're going to put me in a coffin someday. No, they're going to put your body in a coffin. But your spirit's going to be somewhere else. In a place with the Lord Jesus Christ where there's no sickness and no sadness and no pain. But look at the destiny of the goats. It's mentioned twice in the passage. Verse 41, he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There are some people that say hell is not real. Do you know Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven? There are some people that say, well, once you die, that's the end of you. You're not going to exist anymore. Now, the Bible says it's everlasting punishment as well. In Luke chapter 16, the man that died without Christ said, I am in torments in this flame. And he's still there today. Now, lest we forget, if you have somebody that you know, maybe they live with you, maybe they live nearby you, maybe you work with them, maybe they're a relative of yours. If there's somebody that you know that is on their way to hell as a sheep, you ought to have compassion on them. And you ought to do something about that. You ought to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Again, if necessary, because that's what makes us different. Verse 46, he says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Sheep and goats have a different destiny. Some foolish person somewhere along the way said, we're all children of God. That's not what the Bible says. You can be a child of God, but you have to receive Christ to do that. Now, this last point's pretty quick, and we're almost done. We're going to be right on time. And so let's just think about this. What makes sheep and goats different? Go back to what I said at the beginning of the service, and you got two animals down here, and one of them's got a tail that points up and has hair on it and likes to eat off the trees. Say, ah, that's a goat. He's built that way. The next one is a sheep. He's got wool on him. Tail hangs down, eating grass off the ground. Ah, that's a sheep. He's built that way. When you and I got saved, God re-engineered us. You can tell a sheep from a goat because their deeds are different. And you can look at your own deeds as an examination that there. You can tell a difference in a sheep and a goat because their destiny is different. You won't see that here, but you're going to see it one day. But you can tell the sheep from the goats because their design is different. And here's where that goes. If you are a sheep, if you are... And you saw the comparison here. He used the phrase in verse 37, the righteous. So he's calling the sheep the righteous. If you are a sheep, then I want you to understand something. It's not because you changed you, it's because God changed you. Hey, Pastor, why do you do what you do? Because God inside of me wouldn't let me do anything else. Amen? Now, my flesh might like to do something else. But when I go out visiting, for example, I care about folks. Say, what? Well, that's because you're different. Yeah, it is, because God lives in my heart. Amen? Now, this gets a little complicated. You say, well, Pastor, I know some people, and they say they're Christians, but they don't like to read their Bible. They don't like to pray. Their language is kind of foul every now and then, and they claim to know Christ, but I don't see any evidence of that. That worries me a lot. Because I'm seeing here in Matthew chapter 25, three different times when Jesus said, if you're saved, you're changed. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. That's that oil that was mentioned. If you're saved, then you're going to produce fruit. You're going to have results in your life. That's the talents for the servants that he talked about. If you're saved, you're going to have compassion on the suffering. So folks, we're not different because we're good. We're different because God lives in us. Praise the Lord. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not doing some of these things. You know, the Bible talks about that. The Bible says that in the end times, the love of many shall wax cold. Kind of hit me like a ton of bricks the other day. I was thinking about some things. You know, when you got saved, hopefully, and I know some people that have been saved recently, you got excited about the things of God. You started coming to church. Amen? I have no trouble at all. I don't know how I would not go to church. If I was not a pastor, I'd go to church. Amen. In fact, when I was in between ministries, I went to church every time the doors were open. I went on visitation. It's just God in me makes me want to do that. I say, well, Pastor, I'm not like that. I don't have those desires. You know, the Bible says you should examine yourself whether you're in the faith. But I know something else. Sin can take you away from the things of God. And you know, this is the thought that I had the other day. When you start to get away from God, one of the first things that will happen is you'll quit reading your Bible regularly. You might read it every now and then, but you won't read it daily. You might read it once a week. You might not read it at all. When you start getting away from God, you'll stop praying so much. And at some point in time, you may come to that place where you only pray when you have a meal. Church is one of the last things to go. In other words, what I mean by that is when you stop walking with God, it seems like that last step is to quit going to church. I hope you're not near that. I know this. I don't know how I could not go to church. It just doesn't work with me. But if I got deep enough into some sin, I probably could stop going to church. Don't let that happen. Amen. Jesus deserves better. So you come to the end of the story. And again, praise God, we're sheep. We're built different. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He gives us compassion on the suffering. Let that compassion move you to do something about it. Maybe all you can do is visit them and pray with them. That makes a big difference. Maybe somebody, this week I visited some folks that aren't in church and they're not here again today. I'm going back. Because I don't want them to fall away from God and to suffer and waste their life. Folks, let God, in you, as He works in you, let that compassion bear fruit. Amen? You're going to have these missionaries come, and three of them are going to preach during the conference here in 2 weeks. And they're going to tell you this. There are people, each one of these flags, and we had a good time with this a couple of years ago, talking about how many people are represented by those flags. Hundreds of millions of people. You start adding it up, you get into the billions pretty quick. Billions of people. People in Mexico. I know the place. I have been there. I've seen it. I've seen the villages. I've seen the people that live out in the country with no electricity or water, just in a little house that they've built out of what they could find. And folks, those people need Christ. Well, Pastor, I'm awful busy, somebody said. I just don't have time. That's a goat-like thing to say. You mean to tell me that you know somebody's suffering and you haven't got time to alleviate their needs? I remember when I was in high school, a dog got hit by a car. And there were, I can't remember how many people, took this dog, put him in a pickup truck, and drove all over the place trying to find a vet to treat this dog. And what's sad is we can have more compassion on a dog than we can have on people dying and going to hell. I love dogs. But I love people dying and going to hell as well. Amen? Well, what are we doing? We see the need. The compassion is in us. Folks, let's go out and do something about it. If you don't know what to do, come see me. I'll see if I can help you with that. We have a different design. We're built different now. Look at verse 45. He says, I'm sorry, not verse 45. Look at verse 40 again. We'll close with verse 40. The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And here's a thought. We say we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus says, it's in 1 John, if you love Him, you'll love other people. The way you treat other people is the way you treat the Lord Jesus Christ. the compassion, the love, the affection you show to other people is what you show to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we care about the people in Mexico? Jesus does. Are we willing to do something about it? Jesus did. But there's a flag back there in the corner, and I think we're going to have to move that up here in the front because it needs to be a little higher. But anyway, right there in the corner is the American flag. Do you love those people? Jesus does. He died to pay for their sins. Now, make sure you remember, you fit in this picture very clearly. He died to pay for their sins, and he gave that knowledge to you and I to take to the world. And the world is hungry, and the world is thirsty, and the world is looking for answers. And those goats, you think it's funny to see that goat reaching up trying to eat those leaves off of that tree? You should see the things lost people try to do to be happy. They'll tattoo themselves up and put jewelry all over themselves and do all sorts of crazy things, hoping it'll make them happy. And folks, we have the answer. And if you give them the truth, some of them will turn and receive Christ. Amen? That's what the sheep do. That's what we need to do. Let's all stand and pray.